Blog Talk Radio.
Of a brother on this good Wednesday afternoon. Well, not afternoon, it's evening. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm getting mixed up. A midday nap. Do that to y'all.
Yeah, we need this thing to speed up. Don't slow it down.
I'm telling you, man. But it's hump day. And we're hump day. You know what I mean? Pretty much the story, tell of what happened, everything that went down behind the president, the former president. She writes about her life in the next issue of Vanity Fair magazine. Well, it's in Vanity Fair magazine where she talks about, you know, the affair with president, former President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
In it, she writes, and I quote, "It's time to burn the beret and bury the blue dress," end quote. She go on to say, quote, "Sure, my boss took advantage of me, but I will always remain firm on this point. It was a consensual relationship, and then any abuse came in the aftermath when I was made a scapegoat in order to protect his powerful position," end quote.
How did her boss take advantage of her? But if it was a consensual relation,
right?
How you put them two together in the same sentence?
Oh well. I just read them. And of course that's the point of reading them, and we talk about them. But
it sounds like she the only one who's still keeping the blue dress alive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What took her so long?
They said she, you know, couple years after, I don't know if it was a long time, but she did do a sit down with Barbara Walters on 2020 at one point. But that was way back when. Really, honestly, for her to bring this back up now makes it relevant again. The question becomes, why? Well, I thought about it. 2016.
Election.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I know it might seem like a conspiracy I'm throwing out there, but it could be the Republican Party may have pushed her to say, hey, you can be relevant again.
Yeah, but that ain't got nothing to do with Hillary. Yeah,
that's her husband. But
you,
any dirt right now at this point?
I would say any dirt. Right now for the Republicans, any dirt is good dirt.
If anything, that make Hillary look better. She stood next to a man that she married.
But it shows scandal in the administration.
But it makes her look like she honors her commitment.
Yeah, I get that. I'm saying more of a reason for her to come out again.
People are funny.
Yeah.
You know, that could sway a voter.
They might say it's a weakness.
You know, that could sway a voter too. So I personally feel that, yes, I agree with you, Dad.
Yeah.
Here's the theory.
There's somewhere in there.
I agree. You know what I'm saying? I think any kind of leverage they can get, they'll take it. Because that's kind of a losing battle, right?
Yeah, it
is. That's a losing battle. So any leverage they can get out of that, Monica, whoever, they're going to take it.
And then you almost question, she's 40 now. It's almost forgotten. I mean, it's always going to be synonymous because Lewinsky is an act. It's a verb. I mean, it is what it is now. You know what I'm saying? So it's always going to be relevant. But for her to come back now to bring up a story, you almost kind of feel like, okay, what's the point? You 40 and you say you want to bear the beret and the blue dress. Then in the same sentence, like you say you was made a scapegoat and you was abused, but it was consensual. You was 22. You was grown.
You
knew
what you
was doing. That's all to it.
You knew what you was doing.
All to it. So I thought, you know, we had to throw the whiskey in there. No, I seen that.
He back.
Not for long.
This isn't no kind of feeds into the main topic, the title of the show today. So I decided to put it in here. Phaedra Parks from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
My gal.
Her husband, Apollo Nidoc, pleads guilty and bank fraud scheme. Apollo pled guilty to conspiracy to commit mail wire and bank fraud. Apollo, who is 35 years old, admitted his involvement in a scheme worth $2.3 million of defrauding clients. It was over, I think it was 50, it was either 30 or 50 people that this transpired over. What it consisted of was stealing people's identities and opening bank accounts in their name. One of the co-conspirators was arrested in September 2013. He identified Apollo as being a part of it. The co-conspirator was sentenced to 61 months last month by a federal judge. So 61 months would be roughly like five years and a month. Apollo stated he takes full responsibility and added, I got sucked up in and engulfed and lost sight of things. He blamed his actions on trying to keep up appearances and the lifestyle his reality wife had made. Phaedra, who was 43 years old, married Apollo in 2009, 6 months after he was released from prison for racketeering.
And all this jumped off in 2009, too.
No. This must be, he must be started doing this. The dude was arrested in 2013, so it had to be a 2-year span, so it was like 2011. But he's saying, Apollo was saying the reason for him doing it, which is, if there is an excuse, he's saying that he did it because
he wanted to keep
up with Phaedra. Right.
Yeah, I'm about to say that.
You know. See, like to me, he was a con artist when she met him.
Oh, man.
He's been a con artist the whole time.
He called her as soon as he got out of prison.
He seen it come up.
And it was.
Got on TV, instant TV. She got the bread.
He wasn't satisfied with that.
No. See, peeping him, now this is just my personal opinion. He's a man's man. So I get it who you are, and I understand that, but as a man, I can't be looked at as if I'm just riding on your coattail.
Well, then you probably should have had this all together before you married Faith.
Yeah. Right. Or accepted the fact that this is what it is.
One of the two, but I ain't going to do this and then blame it on you.
He's facing up to 30 years.
30?
Yeah.
Ooh. Because he's a repeat offender.
I assume, or it could be just...
That's the penalty.
Yeah, because I'm figuring the co-conspirator who got the 5 years, and he identified Apollo probably turned state's evidence. He probably got a deal. See, Apollo was to get sentenced on July 8th.
So it is. I mean, I don't know what you say. It was 2.5 mil. That's what they racked up.
Yeah. 2.3 mil.
2.3 mil. Is that worth 30 years?
And then you got, from all aspects of us looking at it, from where we looking at it, it seems like you got everything that the average man would want. You got a successful wife. You got two beautiful kids. You popular.
So I can't comment the way I want to comment because I'm
going to
throw me all off, but.
So we're gonna ice it. We're top on it and we're gonna ice it because we're gonna come back to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm just gonna move on to the next topic. Apollo, we'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Martin Jackson clashes with management in his Warriors tenure. A lot of people upset Martin Jackson got fired, and I was really curious to understand why Martin Jackson would be fired as the Golden State Warriors coach. He's made them successful, and they haven't been successful. It just seems like the team vibes off him. Well, Warriors fired Jackson after 3 seasons, ending the franchise's most successful coaching tenure in the past 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's 20 years. Warriors owner, Joe Lacob, said, obviously, it was not made exclusively on wins and losses. The owner continues with the decision was unanimous among team execs. The Warriors want a coach who can develop a synergy with everybody in basketball operations.
So he could.
The problem was he got along with the team.
He got along with his execs.
Exactly. It said that there was a unanimous decision among team execs to get rid of Martin.
Front office. He ain't get along with front office.
Do you hire a coach to win games or do you hire a coach to get along with front office?
See, I'm thinking. I understand what you're saying, but I gotta get along with you to pay you.
Might be a little extreme.
I gotta get along with you to pay you.
Man, we winning. We went to the playoffs. You ain't been to the playoffs in how long?
It has to be a working. It has to be a working environment.
I mean, like for real. What's the end result? What are we looking to do?
What you know what's happened? We got so caught up in the fact that coaches win basketball games. That's what you pay them for. That we lost sight in the relationship of a working relationship. Even if I'm winning with you, if I don't like you, what good is it?
You're winning. That's what good it is. So you want to get along with a loser. You get somebody ahead. You start losing, but y'all got a great relationship. You good with that?
I'm okay with that.
Man, you crazy.
I'm okay with that.
You ain't making no money. Nobody comes to see you lose because y'all get along.
But I come to work peaceful.
Oh, man. Look
here. I come to work peaceful, though.
This is professional. This ain't high school. This ain't college. This ain't about education. This is about winning. This is about money.
So would you, I understand what you're saying. I'd be okay with it to win. But at some point that gets old. You constantly bickering, I can't tell you nothing, and I got to pay you, regardless if we're winning or not.
Well, maybe you should find out why I'm unhappy.
Maybe it ain't me why you're unhappy. Maybe you're just unhappy.
Maybe. But I'm winning. At the end of the day, I'm going to go back to the same thing. I'm winning.
But I own it. And that's what they said.
Okay, well, good luck.
because that's the thing, though. I mean, they cut their losses. They figured, like, the relationship was more detrimental to deal with than them winning. So it must be was serious.
That's what I'm saying. It had to be serious. For them
to cut ties?
To cut ties like that when he's successful and he's the reason why the team is successful. And for you to fire him, it had to be something serious.
But think about it this way. Remove owner's ego, remove upper management's egos, and think about what you just lost. You just lost a winning coach who has his team on one accord.
I agree with you.
Now you may lose camaraderie amongst your team.
Could lose players.
You could lose more than just Mark Jackson and the problem that he presented for upper management.
I get what you're saying, but I look at it like this. If this is my multi-million dollar team, and I want it to be a certain way, and you're the reason it's not, and I have that kind of control, it's either you or me. I get another coach. And at some point, if I went through 20 years, I'd do it again. But I'm not – the fact of the matter that they want to go through 3 years of winning over 20 years of losing, I mean, their relationship was totally distraught. It was nowhere else. The owner goes on to say he declined to discuss coaching, their coaching search. But they will begin immediately looking. Names being considered are Steve Kirk. Everybody knows Steve Kerr, former of the Bulls, TNT broadcaster now. Stan Van Gundy from Orlando Magic. Iowa State's Fred Oberg. I'm not familiar with him. And this was a kicker. UConn's Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. You got to throw that name in the mix.
Yeah.
You had to throw that name.
Now it changes the dynamic on why they got rid of him, though.
Not really, because I don't think he's going over. I think he's gonna stay right there at UConn where he's at.
This ain't on the subject, but since we're there, do you think he would make a bad decision like going to Golden State? Though?
Yes, I think. At this point,
you right realize now he wasn't even supposed to be our college coach.
That's why it would be a bad decision.
You'll get this opportunity all the time.
Hey, that's okay. If I keep winning, I will. Right now, I'm proving myself.
Yes, that's the whole thing.
Man, you just,
it's like somebody presenting you the NFL. And you got the option of going right now, and it's all you ever want in all your life, of playing one more year to win another championship. You just won a championship.
See, put it in the context of where you can maybe understand it. It is a whole different situation.
I understood it before.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where you, I should say, feel it.
Yeah, that's just different.
If they come at him, it puts him in a position where he almost can't turn it down.
I don't agree with that. If
that's his desire. He might desire to be a college coach. That might have been his whole desire. And then it won't anything. Because what's going like that for Florida?
I will tell you this. The Lakers ain't mad that they fired him.
No. The Lakers are mixed.
The Lakers are not mad at all.
The Lakers are mixed. Nobody moved on him yet. I also found out that Mark Jackson is a minister. He actually has his own church in the LA area. And I've heard him to be very outspoken.
There you go.
And it's outspoken sometimes to the point where he fired a couple of assistants because they wouldn't do it the way he wanted to do it. And then I think the executives wanted him to hire a stable assistant coach. And he went out and hired Lindsey Hunter. Or something like that. So it was a lot of mixed up and stuff like that. But
wherever he ends up, he will end up somewhere.
Yeah, he's not gonna be out of a job for long.
Yeah, no, you were saying next season. Yeah, and like he's gonna be successful.
Yeah, I believe that. It's been criticized, and this is one thing too. After learning he was a minister, he's been criticized for being overconfident and almost crackhead time. Because I think his first year in Golden State, he guaranteed they would go to playoffs. They didn't, but the next 2 years they did. So a lot of people look at it. He rubbed a lot of feathers the wrong way, but I think a lot of his confidence probably come in what he believed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
we
saying?
Talk about that
yeah.
Every week.
So, yeah.
Hey, do your thing.
So with that being said, he's going to rub the feathers wherever he goes.
That's it.
He's going to continue to be who he is, and that's all he can be true to himself.
He would have just throwing names out there for what's your boy? For Dallas, the owner of Dallas.
Cuban, yeah.
Yeah, with a Cuban or somebody like that that's a little more laid back.
I don't think he
even have a problem.
The only problem will come with him and Cuban, where Cuban might be like he feels intimidated by.
Too big of an ego.
Yeah. That would be the only problem, but I can see him working together.
Yeah. Like I said, he'll be successful. He'll be all right. It may have been the best thing for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably was. I mean, if he wasn't getting along with management, he would have looked crazy walking away. But being that they got rid of him, it kind of makes them look crazy. So it worked to his advantage.
Yeah, but I think that's a stupid move. Just me.
Sum up the end of note for today, like we always try to do, keep on a good note. Kevin Durant of Oklahoma Thunder, named NBA's most valuable player. Durant thanked each one of his teammates, coaches, support staff, and team executives, and lastly, his family. Everybody was present. Every one of his teammates, his staff, his mom, his brother, everybody was there. And emotionally comforted, Durant thanked his mother, and I quote, he said, "You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on our table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP." End quote. When I seen his speech, man, it was very emotional. And you could see he was trying to compose himself, but the emotions took over. I started respecting Kevin Durant a lot more. As a player, I always liked him, but I started respecting him a lot more. When one night you seen the game, T, and you had called me and you said you seen what Durant said afterwards. And he had been having this good good stretch where he was scoring a lot of points, putting up big numbers. I think it was a 30-point stretch.
30-point stretch.
And after the game, they asked him, and the first thing, you seen it.
Yeah, it was like, how do you explain your recent success? He was like, it's Jesus. So the man asked him another question. He was like, okay, I understand that, but what have you been doing differently than, you know, to get to this point? And he kind of looked at him with this smirk on his face, like, I guess you didn't hear me the first time. It's Jesus. And he walked off. I don't take credit for this. I give credit to Jesus Christ.
Where it belongs.
Yeah. Exactly. And you heard that all through his acceptance speech. I mean, once again, he said this, and I thought this was very humility. This was a lot of, he showed a lot of humility in this. He said, and I quote, "No bed, no furniture. And we just all sat in the living room and hugged each other. Because that's when we all thought we made it." End quote. He's explaining when they got their first apartment, him and his mom and his brother. And to them, at that point, they had made it. So what I heard him saying is out loud, it was like he, in that moment he was experiencing, I made it. You know what I mean? Like, when I thought I had made it, who would have known what I really was going to make?
I mean, what I hear is, I was at a point where I didn't have nothing.
And thought I made it.
And I was good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything that happens from this point forward is great.
Right.
I mean, I'm floating right now. And how can you get mad at that? How can you, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think, man?
Yeah, and then he even said that. And in the post-interview, he was like, you know, he tells teammates a lot. He's like, he looked around, we play basketball. We got this, we playing for a championship. I got the MVP. He was like, what else can you ask?
Yeah, he's real humble.
You close it up because Durant is often looked at as, in some terms, not as aggressive as the other players in the NBA. This was one of his statements in his acceptance speech. He said, and I quote, "Everything in my life, I had to take it. They're not going to give it to you out of sympathy. I wouldn't want it any other way. This was another case. If I wanted to win MVP, I had to go get it. I felt that this was my year to do it." End quote.
You did it.
I thought that was what was up, man. I really respect the young man because he's very humble. He's chill. You don't really see him acting a fool, even on the court. I mean, you'll see his out of emotion when he do a good play or something, but that's granted. It's never disrespect. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I see him as a little bit more out there version of Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think he can go through his whole career and retire as one of the greats quietly.
I agree with that.
Well, it's refreshing to see someone like him in the NBA. You know, what's portrayed on television is a lot of the bad boy type image.
The foolishness.
Right.
Hip hop.
You know, that's what we get the most. But you know, it's refreshing to know that there are people like Kevin Durant in the NBA. That's good to know.
He finished first in Napoleon, which, of course, he won the MVP. Second was LeBron James. Third was Blake Griffin. Kind of caught me off guard.
Well, he's popular.
Yeah,
he's popular. I got a good enough year to be considered for MVP this year, though.
Yeah, and it, depending on how far they go this year in the playoffs, he could win the next year. This year in the playoffs.
Set him up to be. Because you got to be. Because Durant did that over the last two or three years. You have to put yourself in that category to be looked at being looked at.
And to stand out on the team that he's on with all the stars that they got.
And Clippers finna to become probably the Lakers, really, as far as popularity.
Yeah,
because right now the Lakers have lost their speed, and everybody, and granted, this whole spill with Sterling thing has made them even more popular, if you want to say. Because people paying attention. Well, we weren't paying attention to Clippers before. Well, that's the end of the note for today, so we'll wrap that up. Get right into that title, baby. Get right into the title of the show. The title of the show is television telling our vision. Oh, boy.
Last Sunday.
Oh, boy.
We finished the show. We turned on the TV, looked for the game. The game was going off. We came across this Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
One of us in here wasn't trying to watch it.
Yeah.
Another one of us didn't know nothing about it.
I was all in.
One of us was all in.
Yeah.
I was all in. I wanted to see what was going on.
So, in watching it, I guess we saw some interesting things, some things interesting enough to bring it up and discuss it.
Yeah.
So now, where do we go?
Where do we go from here?
Well, I remember because I was the one trying not to watch it because, you know, you DVR it and then, you know, got to watch it with the wife. So, but anyway, it, when watching it, it almost seemed like I was watching two adolescent females, young girls, spatting over something simple as what the other girl, friend, said. And it got to the point. Well, these are grown women in their mid-30s, 40s. We're talking back and forth to each other that they were trying to out-talk each other and hollering doing so.
You can't hear nobody saying. They can't hear each other. The ones who ain't talking to this thing, man, looking like, what's going on? Am I really a part of
it? This? Right.
But at the same time, you know you're a part of this because you contributed to it.
Mm-hmm.
There, you will.
And at some point, you're going to get pulled into it, too.
And everybody did.
Yeah.
Now, they call this reality TV, right? And we have a lot of these reality TV shows all right now. Pretty much everything, as far as a series go, is almost considered reality TV. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, ain't no one sitcom.
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't
it's scripted.
So I'm watching this, me being Hawaii, and I'm gonna throw a disclaimer out there before we go too far.
Oh boy, here we go, here we go.
I'm gonna put a disclaimer out there. What I might say from this point forth is not to bash or condemn the actors or the women on that show.
Right.
Because it's not about them, in my opinion. It's not about them. Yes, they take part in it, but I see, as I'm watching this, I see something totally different than I think I was supposed to see.
Right.
First, how do you call this reality TV when you got, how many is it, 4 or 5? How many in that cast? How many was sitting up there?
6. Four portions.
Yeah.
Got escorted off.
So it was 5 on the stage when it started with 6.
2 on one couch and 3 on the other.
Okay. You got these 5 black women sitting on the couch.
All successful.
Successful. Minus 1, because 1 had a short haircut. No, she didn't have a short haircut. She just had it up or whatever. But they got hair down to their crank.
Mm-hmm.
Eyelashes out past their nose. You know, sitting there looking like Barbie dolls. And the first thing I'm thinking is, how is this reality?
Yeah, you ain't real.
Yeah. Why is this called reality TV?
Yeah. Really,
I'm not even lost in the comment, in the argument they have, you know, this, that, and third. I can't even, I did at some points when they was about to go to blows, or it seemed like.
Right, right.
But I'm looking at the whole, I'm looking at behind the scenes. I'm looking at the message that's being sent. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't there's not one of you out there that looks real, that looks genuine. So as my daughter might be watching this with her mama or whoever else, this is what you telling my daughter that she should look like. This is what pretty look like.
And successful, because they are successful. But like you say.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's on you, bro.
No, I was just saying, you know, not only this is what success looks like, but this is how success can act and still be successful.
Yeah.
You know, that blows my mind. Like you said, all these successful women on the stage, while a couple of them was trying to stay out of it.
Yeah.
You know, still, because they're there and associated with it, they got sucked in.
So, I'm going to tell you, I took a lot of notes. I went back in my memory and I wrote some stuff down. On reality TV, or this reality show, I see the portrayal of a black woman as superficial, rambunctious, self-centered, ignorant, and unapproachable. It goes totally against what we used to see. Like, what happened to the black women who show natural beauty? You know what I mean? Like, they've replaced what we used to cherish in the Nefertitis of the world with how everybody ought to be Barbie.
And to a certain point, I want to point this out, too. And I understand your point, T, but I want to point this out because I don't want to make it seem like we're bashing the housewives of Atlanta.
That's why I put the disclaimer. Yeah. It ain't about this.
Yeah. To a certain point, I don't think their intentions when they first started the show was anything more than the show they filmed. Now, me, you, and Bone showing ourselves on TV may show us some things we don't like, too. You know what I'm saying?
It could.
You know what I mean? Now, for them, I think at this point, though, how far as it was on the reunion, it's gotten to a point where they believe that. It came to the point where I think you can bring in the aspect of TV and the whole, the producers and the fame of it has made them become somebody they probably was when they started out.
This is my thing is not so much against or specifically with mm-hmm. the women that was on the show. Look at
other shows.
No, you ain't even got to go to TV. We can stay on TV, but just look at the black woman in general right now. She don't feel pretty unless she got long, straight hair.
Right, right.
And eyelashes way out here, and your skin is lighting. I mean, like, what is this? This ain't real.
That's what they see on TV.
That's why I pointed it out.
Yeah. Because and that's the
image
of the show. That's
the image that is being portrayed as what is now pretty. Anything other than this can't, I mean, even the ones that used to wear the natural hair look and didn't go into, I watched Queen Latifah the other day on TV. I walked in the house of Mama was watching it, and it just caught me like,
mm-hmm.
This is the same lady that used to be. They used to wear the dashi. You used to wear the hat, and you see how all made up and all this. Now she got the long ponytails and the long hair way down, you know. I mean, and to each his own. If that's what you want to do and you feel that's what is required to make you look like, you know, but at the end of the day, like, where's the realness?
Yeah.
I think if you're looking at celebrities, and searching for realness, nowadays, you're looking in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? You're not going to, you got to find, you got to look away from the stars, as we call them. You got to look away from the stars to find real people and everything that they lack. Because other than that, man, they got money. They got money, they can do whatever they want. They can suck some fat from out of here and put it somewhere else.
and,
yeah,
you know, tattoo makeup on their face and never have to do their makeup again.
Yeah, it's all superficial.
You know what
it's
I mean?
All
so, but that's the life that they live. So if you're looking at them, and them young ladies, I know you were trying not to speak on them specifically, but what if, I mean, did you see NeNe? You know, you don't know who NeNe is.
Yeah. You know NeNe, the one with the blonde.
With a hair up.
Yeah.
With
the pink dress.
In the pink dress.
Yeah.
All that right there. That wasn't even her. That, you know, like, you know, showing that my wife is a beautician, but that was a, like a lace wig.
Yeah, yeah.
That
wasn't
even her. And then she got money. That ain't really look like a very good job.
I was just going to say, it looked like that was the Paul Bearer, because it looked like the makeup within the edge line. It did. And I was like, wow.
And you want to sit up here?
Wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying?
But still,
I
you know.
Why nobody gonna tell you?
No, I mean, we were trying to avoid that. You know, we'll get into it later.
I mean, yeah. I hear women complain about how much money and time and effort goes into making them look good for their man and all that. Look at what you're doing, though. You go and you take your money and buy somebody else. Do what you can do with your hair. Never mind they have. Why we gotta have? I just don't get it. Maybe just because it's my personality and who I am. I don't get it.
I want to put this out there. You know, the natural look is trying to make a comeback. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I see it more than most people. You know, sitting here with these high ass, with these locks on my head. You know, but. You know, naturally trying to make a comeback. Afros and locks and, you know, just regular braids. It's trying, but I want to beat them up too bad, man. If they want to do that to make themselves look good, then, you know, you want to go over there to Chongling, you know, and buy your hair off a rack. Go and do it if that's going to make you feel good about yourself. Maybe they natural hair don't make them feel good about themselves.
And that's true. And I, you know, I agree with Bone. I think everybody should do individually what they want to do to make them happy. For me personally, my personal life in a woman is natural. I like it natural.
I want to put that out there too.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. If more men would embrace that, I don't think they would do that. They do this because they feel like what you look at.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the long hair and the big booty, and if I ain't got it, I'm gonna go, like you say, take some fat from here and put it over there, and I'm have my eyelashes blinking 100 miles a minute. Like, come on, man, like this ain't real. I'm sorry. I ain't married. I can say what I want to.
But I agree, man. I feel you.
I don't mean to cut y'all boys off, man, but looks like we got a caller. Okay. Like, maybe they want to throw their 2 cents in, so let's see what they got to say.
Hey, brothers.
Good evening, Carlo.
Can y'all hear me?
Vic.
What's going on, Vic?
Ain't nothing to it. I just want to chime in real quick. I'm going to be fast because I probably going to want to make another comment later on in the show. Remember a couple shows ago, a couple weeks ago, when we was talking about everybody had their own opinion and they had a right to do what they want to, and we said, well, you know, sometimes wrong is just wrong, you know, and I feel with this subject we try to be nice and we try to be respectful, and because I feel the same way that I feel everybody kind of touching on it and saying, well, you know, this is how I feel. And another brother said, well, this is how I feel. We all feel the same way. You look like a clown. You look like a clown.
Vic, you're wrong with it.
I like that.
That's what, hey, Vic, just right quick. That's what Corbin trying to get us just to come out and say.
I mean,
right.
No, I ain't been trying to get him to say that. Just, you know, speak your mind. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me say this too. I appreciate y'all, brothers, because it seems like y'all always right on time with it, man. I think our planets are really aligned. I was just contemplating on this the other day, and I think because I felt like this fad with these weaves, it started like a little style of fad, because I was remember when it was like Diana Ross had one and a couple other sisters had one, and that was it. You know, it was like, mm-hmm. you know, you had to have a lot of money and stuff like that. And it took off, and it's like it ain't going to never turn around. And I think the brothers, when we'll look at the sisters and say, yeah, you look all right, or you look pretty, or whatever, but we all feel the same way. And I don't understand. We got to change. We got to turn this around. And I like going back to just like everything else, every other issue, you have the right to do what you want to do. And I wouldn't want everybody to have an afro. I wouldn't want everybody to have dreadlocks. I wouldn't want everybody. But that's the same way. Whenever you go to any function, if you go to a concert, and in the concert is 85% black people, like you go to like a Summer's Fest or something like that, if you look into the crowd, out in the crowd, the majority of the women are going to have some kind of weave or fake hair or something like that. And it's not even going to be to celebrate their blackism. You know what I'm saying? It just ain't right, y'all. It ain't right. And we really need to look at this. And one more thing real quick. A couple years ago, Chris Rock did that movie about the sisters doing their hair, and it was like a hair show or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a big joke. I don't know if y'all remember that. And it was a big joke. And everybody laughed at it. And I was walking around saying, man, this is real. Y'all laughing at yourselves.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. But y'all go ahead and put me back on mute, man. Tell me what y'all think, man.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry.
As always, Vic, we appreciate the feedback, as always. That's Vic, our local in-house guest. He's always calling in. We appreciate Vic's love and support. See what you... Because Vic was hitting pretty much on the same point you hitting on.
Nah, I won't go as far as say you look like a clown. I'm not going to go that
far. Well, you said the eyelashes, then...
But that's different, though. Where I'm going, man, is... this is my personal opinion. There is nothing more beautiful than... a woman, and specifically, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make this a racial thing, but specifically a black woman who embraces herself as she is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with, there's something wrong with enhancing here and there. You want to put on lipstick? Okay, cool. I can dig that. You want to put a little stuff around your eyes? Okay, cool. I can dig that. But when you go to changing what you are, who you are, if it take you 2 hours to get dressed, you're doing too much. That's not you no more. It don't take you that long to comb your hair. If you want to put on lipstick and a little makeup or whatever you want to do, get dressed, let's go. I'm with you for you, not because you look like somebody else. If I want to dance, then I go be them. I go get them. I don't know. I just feel like you got to find a way, and I think it's up to us. Because we don't tell as much as we should, and I'm generalizing, but I'm going to do that. We don't tell and express the appreciation for the naturalists.
Yeah.
The person as they are.
That's true. To some extent, and I see where you're going with it, because to some extent, I think us as the black males, we also have embraced that being the end thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So with that being said, you know, even if a woman felt as if, okay, I don't feel like doing that no more, she almost get that pressure if that's what expected. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And even to that point, I'm going to say this, because it takes me a minute to get dressed too. You know what I'm saying? So I can get that, but like you said, it don't need to go to the extreme of your hair down to the crack of your back, you know what I'm saying, and your eyelash beating your head in. To the point where you look like a totally different person. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Where you just yeah. blatantly
now, I don't mind you.
Unnatural.
I want you to get dressed and feel good. I want you to do that. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. But naturally, I like you naturally. That's all I need.
I want to say, I am a outspoken advocate of naturalness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I believe there is nothing more beautiful than a black woman that rocks a fro or dreads. Now, if you got dreads down to your back,
that's all right.
Hey, now I ain't got no problem with that. You know what I'm saying? There is nothing more beautiful than a woman that can confidently walk out the door with not an ounce of makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And that confidence exudes to the point where she's attractive.
Yeah,
exactly. No. She don't care about what you think. She knows that she's attractive. So guess what? She's attractive.
Yeah.
That confidence can make, how to say it?
Say it like
I
you
gotta
say
it. I got to go home, nigga. I'm sorry.
You go home.
But I would say this. That confidence can make a homely looking woman attractive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
true. When it's real, it exudes out of them. It radiates off of them.
I'll go a step further and say, when you feel comfortable with your look, whether it be natural or whatever, 9 times out of 10, if not 10, you're going to look better than you would doing all the extra because you uncomfortable and all that.
Yeah.
You're always checking to make sure your hair ain't falling off or your eyelash is straight or your this or your that. But when it's yours, you know it ain't going to work. You ain't got to check that. You cool. You calm. It's natural.
It's that confidence, like Bone said. That confidence alone, you can have on basketball shorts and a white tee and walk out the door. And be the prettiest thing I ever seen if you got that confidence. That confidence. And if you see that, because, for instance, look at Grace Jones. By all means in the fashion, Grace Jones is not the most beautiful thing you'll ever see if you looked at her right off. But it's something about her that's intriguing because she's confident in who she is.
Exactly.
India Irie.
Beautiful.
All the way to her soul. And it's because of the way she carries herself. She's confident in who she is. She don't care what you think.
She
has to write a song.
Right.
You can look at her and Erykah Badu, another one.
Another one. I was going to throw Jill Scott in
there.
Jill Scott's a little more made up.
She's transitioning.
Nowadays, especially. But, you know, when she first came on the scene, she was one, too.
Yeah.
Angie Stone. She's not... Just like our first look, you'll be like, oh, okay. But then if you pay some attention, like,
She buying in too now.
Yeah.
She buying in too. I just thought about it. She on the Divas. Divas of LA.
Another reality show.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leads me into point number 2.
Go ahead.
Here we go. I'm going to get off the appearance for a second. Reality TV. That's what this is called. Reality TV.
Yeah.
Now, if you got any kind of sense about you, you can probably come to the conclusion that some of this is, not all of this is scripted. But yet you call it reality TV. Okay. We just went into the appearance. It's not real. But yet you call it reality TV. So if the look of the person is not real and the actions of the person is not real, what makes it reality TV? Okay. It's a brilliant spin on the word. It's a brilliant part. Reality. I'm of the opinion that the real reality of these shows is not in the actors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the looks. It's in the subliminal message that's sent from the producers and the directors and the distributors. We're showing you that what we're doing is real. We still got clowns.
Mm.
We still are in control.
Mm.
And it's real.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I'm changing everything by what I display on this TV. And only those that know what I'm doing understand the reality of this.
Because to elaborate on your point, I even said I don't think nobody came on these reality shows with the concept or the idea that they would be made to look this way.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And now it comes to the point where they acted out because they think they have to be this way.
Right.
And we know the producers are the strings behind all of it. So our reality becomes not our reality.
No. It's what they want you to, they want your reality to be.
Now, because the TV reached so far and deep, it's reaching inside my house. Now that becomes my house's reality of what all, everybody
right.
that's successful in black is.
Well, right. I'm watching them. They successful.
Yeah.
They on TV. They act like that. They look like this. They ain't worried about this. They ain't worried about that. They ain't still, well, I got to be.
Yeah. Great point, man. Great point.
So you lose the training. You lose everything that made you who you are and buy into what you think it takes to be real.
Yeah.
Because that's reality, people. That's real. That's what everybody's doing.
They basically, not to degrade them, because I love candy, but, you know, they puppets.
Yeah.
That's it.
They puppets.
And they get paid.
They paid puppets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. We even seen on the show where they was fighting amongst themselves, and the first thing that Nene threw out was, get your check up, because I get the most on the show. So much to the point that you saying she making a fool of herself for nothing.
Right.
But you sitting over here making a fool out of her because you getting a little more something.
I heard a line in the show, and I asked both of y'all if y'all heard it, because y'all was watching, and there wasn't no reaction when he said it. And I sat back in my chair like, what? I don't know which two it was. Two of them was going at it. And the one who looked like she high class, she looked like she...
Phaedra.
No, not that one.
You know Phaedra. You know Phaedra. You're talking about Kenya, Miss America.
Oh, that one.
Okay.
She stopped and she was like, okay, I'm done waddling in the mud with dogs.
Pigs.
Pigs. Done waddling in the mud with pigs. So the dude who's hosting the show, which happened to be right, he mumbles under his breath, so what, are you leaving the show?
Same.
Nobody said that.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept going like he didn't even say what he said. And in my mind, I'm like, what? So basically, he just called all y'all pigs. Because the only way you going to not waddle in the mother pigs is to leave the show. If you talk to anybody else on this panel, you still waddle in the mother pigs.
I feel you on that. Because he didn't make a point of her calling them pigs.
No.
He almost agreed with
them. Yes. He said it as if everybody in there knew that was what
they were. You know, and they damn near
they did it
because they ain't say that.
And I'm looking at, okay, this is reality TV.
And we agreed because we didn't
say
that.
We didn't respond.
Yeah. And that's why it caught you off guard. But because we watched it and we seen it, the question he asked was relevant. But to the point of it was so relevant to it called everybody accountable.
Mm.
And I don't think nobody caught it. Because their reality has become their pig.
Yes. You just a modern day clown. You are, hey, I said Vic, you probably shouldn't call him clown, but at the end of the day, he's like, what is it?
Yeah. That's it. You're performing from out.
And they are performing. I went back and I watched prepping for the show.
Yeah.
I went back and I watched I can't even call it a fight, really.
The first one.
When
she had the baton and the
that wasn't a fight. She just snatched her off her feet.
Yeah.
By help.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But even through all of that, I can hear people mumbling, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. That's gonna mess you up, don't say nothing.
Yeah.
So this is reality TV.
Hmm.
But there are certain things I cannot say.
Right.
Or you went too far playing the game. So now we're trying to calm you down to bring you back. So where the reality is?
Ain't no reality. That's the whole point. This is not reality. This is entertainment.
Yeah,
it is.
And that's what I'm saying.
But
the whole point.
Yeah.
She had I can't think what the thing called, but it's whatever, print.
A megaphone.
The one first snatched out her. The scepter. She had a scepter. This is what Kenya had. She kept pointing at the girl would talk. So she was like, get that out of my face.
Mm.
So now I'm arguing with you and you keep pointing to my face. She snatched and throwed across the room. So that didn't do. She went and got a megaphone.
Yeah.
They sitting close as me and you on a couch.
Basically like this.
She sat the megaphone across Cynthia, the girl in the middle, and went and talking to the girl through it. What you really did?
She wouldn't have got that far.
Well,
she really got, I mean, honestly, like, it ain't going to come to
play. But what a problem. And all that coming in, this reality. Yeah.
How is all this on set?
Right.
Unless you live in a reality that this is what you do. And if that's your reality, that's not everybody's reality.
I'll give them that. I don't think anybody else on that stage would have did that. But Kenya.
Yeah, but her.
You know what I'm saying? And she is one of
the... She's playing into it.
Right.
She plays into it a lot. Yeah.
The fakeness of the reality has become her reality. Basically.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too lost in the specifics of this show. Because the point is, if they're calling this reality TV, what reality are you trying to sell me and why? We obviously can see through that this is not real.
Right.
From the appearance to what you do, it's not real. So what are you trying to sell me as my reality and why? What's my point to B, I'll say. And this is a question that I got to y'all. If we find this entertaining, and obviously we do because you watch it, you know, would it be possible to find this type of stuff entertaining if there was nowhere in you agreement with what you see? Like, if you were totally disagreement with what you see, could you watch it?
Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
That's why I watch it.
I do. I totally disagree with their actions. I do. But I watch it for entertainment. Because I can't believe these Negroes on TV doing this.
That's crazy to me.
That's me.
I mean, I get it.
Yes, you know what I'm saying?
That whole thing is...
And you know, not to go too far off, but yeah, I'm talking about myself, not personally. I could be wrong. I, you know, a lot of people may think I'm wrong, but yes, I watch reality TV. Yes, I watch the fights on Facebook. Yes, I watch the ghetto fights.
Right.
Yeah. I watch them. So, I mean, it's entertainment, but it's, to me, it's like I'm shaking my head while I'm watching. So what you're saying is, if I'm shaking my head at it,
why are you watching?
I think it's funny.
But what that does is that shows the producers that I'm on the right track. Because you showing you watch it.
But see, the difference for me is I can watch that and understand that's not my reality.
Right.
See, I'm strong enough in where I stand with myself that I understand, okay, this is what I say all the time. You do what you want to do. I'm fine with that because I'm going to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Respect me in doing it. So if this is what they choose to do, they're older than me. Everybody on that stage is older than me, but probably maybe Candy, we might be at the same age. And I think she's older than me. She probably, Bones, I think she's on with Bones. So she's probably 37.
36, man. 37 yet.
36. My bad, dog. But, you know what I'm saying? They're older than me, and that's what they choose to do. They're grown. I choose to watch it, but it doesn't affect me. But I do get what you're saying because I'm still a number that shows I'm reaching where I need to be reaching.
And the only way we get this nonsense off of TV, the only way, because you say, I'm strong enough to know that that's not my reality. But there's a lot of people that
that's
don't
not,
know.
I get it.
And because the ratings are high, it's not going nowhere.
Yeah, nah, you got to start watching.
The only way we get this nonsense off TV and we can reach people and get to the point where we get you to think about something else and change your viewpoint of your own personal reality is to not have this stuff air. That's just it. The only way to do that is not watching.
Oh,
well, I'm not saying that it's impossible. It would be wrong for me to sit here and try to tell you what you should and should not watch. And I know that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if you are going to watch it, at least take the opportunity to explain to people who may not be in the mindset that you are, that this ain't real. I don't agree with this. This is stupid. I'm just watching this because ain't nothing else on. Or I'm just watching this because I want to laugh. Or whatever the case may be.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. I understand totally what you're saying. The thing for me is with the overall, even the housewives, all of them. Some of them are to the extreme. You got the Braxton sometimes, they kind of crazy. You got Blood, Sweat, and Heels. I don't know if y'all seen that one.
Don't know what it is.
Now you got me on that one.
Married to Medicine, you got that one.
Yeah, they wild as
well. Yeah, they know the housewives. And they professional.
And they're doctors.
Yeah.
And wild
doctors. So, excuse me. You got them. I do respect Tiaza, and I think we touched on this before, because it puts you back in the reality of the Cosby Show, when we had a sitcom where, for the first time, what wasn't reality was made to believe this could possibly be our reality.
Right.
Before reality shows exist. This was based off a fiction story, but it became our reality.
And now, having said that, as simple as you said, this is not our reality. And it wasn't called a reality TV show, but we started believing that this could be our reality.
Yeah.
What happened? Took it all down.
Yeah, eventually.
Anything about it,
they
took it off
down. Yeah,
it did, but
times changed.
There you go.
I can remember this, and I say this all the time. I left in 2000 to go to Germany. I came back in 2003, 2002, and reality TV had hit. I had never seen reality TV before. But it was to the point where that all was on TV. So at this point, you didn't have no choice but to watch reality TV. There was no 8 o'clock slot for a primetime TV show. I think 24 might have been the only one left. But there wasn't no black sitcoms no more. You know how we had the Wayans brothers, even though they was a little crazy, but they had their own show, In Living Color back in the day. All these shows, it wasn't no more. Anything you seen that was black was a reality TV show. So to your point, I see what you're saying. Now, I don't know when the transition happened. It happened just as gracefully as the Satin Pan thing came into play. Mm-hmm. And the music changed from Goody Mob and Outkast to, woo, just popped the bottle, I'm smoking or something, you know what I'm saying? But it was a shift.
The owners of these networks, the major networks, now, I could be wrong, because I don't know this to be fact, but I don't think none of them are black. If it is, it might be few. Now, Oprah got a network, but it ain't on prime time. It ain't on regular TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on cable. And we don't even, well, we know she owned it, but I think it's going through Viacom, which is owned by somebody else. So, I don't think nobody black owns a broadcasting company.
Right. So, therefore, we have zero control over how we're portrayed and what's portrayed.
Yeah.
We have zero control over that. So what do we have control over?
I'm sorry. I just thought of one. Bounce TV. You know, you don't even know about it.
Never heard of it.
Right. Is that the spiritual TV?
Mm-mm. No, it's a black-owned network. And they just show African-American
movies.
But they throw an infomercial in there every now and then where they talk about how these networks won't even pick them up. They won't even pick them up.
Yeah.
They're offering their show for free.
And they still won't pick them up.
Still won't pick them up. You know what I'm saying? So there's one, at least one. But they struggling just to get out there. Nobody even want to put them out there like that.
Unless you can be my BET or my...
Right. And where's BET right now? BET, right. They don't even show videos no more.
Right. It's not centered around the black culture as it used to.
Right.
Centric can't get on the main network
right.
Either. You know what I'm saying? And to a certain extent, it's kind of chopped up too.
So BET, they need to change the name.
No, well, you can't do that.
They need to change the name. I mean, because that's not what black entertainment is.
I ain't watching no movies.
No, what it is now what black entertainment was. It is what black entertainment is now because that's what they made it.
Yeah.
It's been a slow transition, and if you go back, that's what we're talking about. It's been a slow and deliberate transition from what was to what is now. And we have no choice. And if you think about it, we transition right along with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like
yeah.
I was saying, like,
yeah.
From 2000 to 2003, I was going, I came back. When I came back, it wasn't like I could say, hey, you need to change this.
Yeah.
Right.
I had to go along with the flow. You know what I mean? Because the powers that be decided reality TV is the way to go. Ever since we've seen reality TV,
everything we've seen has been negative.
Yeah.
Before that, you had, like I said, the Cosby Show. You can give T.I. show, because T.I. reality TV show really do exemplify a responsible young man raising his family. You know what I'm saying? And I give him much props for that, because he ain't really letting them, I know they directed it in some ways, but he keeps it true to himself. And that's hard right now in the days, man, mainstream. You know what I mean?
I want to, we got a little bit of time. I want to go against the grain a little bit. And you know, this is what I do. We've made mention of this a couple times, but I want to take the opportunity, if y'all don't mind, if y'all okay with it.
You're good.
To read something to you. And just let it take you wherever it takes you. It says, gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. Okay? First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me in my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest method for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious King James, whose Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that our problem is not unique. While Rome used cords or wood as crosses for standing human bodies along the old highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You are losing valuable stock by hangings. You are having uprisings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasional fires. Your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are? I do not need to elaborate. No, I'm sorry. You know what your problems are. I don't need to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I am here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag, I have a foolproof method for controlling your slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or any overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple list of differences and think about it. On the top of my list is age, but it's only there because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantation, attitude of the owner. Whatever the slaves live in the valley, on the hill, east or west, north, south, have fine or coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have all the differences, I should give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that the distrust is stronger than trust, and envy is stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slave, after receiving this introduction, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years. Maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must put old versus young. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black versus the young black males, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. You must always have your servants as overseers. Distrust all blacks, but it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Never miss an opportunity. My plan is guaranteed. The good thing about the plan is if used intensely for 1 year, the slave will remain perpetually distrustful. Now, I left some stuff out of what I originally read because I didn't want to go there. I didn't, and I probably shouldn't have. But they went into detail about how to break down, reshape the mind of a slave. And they used the analogy of a horse. If you take a horse out of the wild, because a horse in the wild is no good to you. Mm-hmm. You have to tame that horse. You have to make that horse trust you. Have that horse eaten out of your hand. You separate the female horse from the male horse, from
mm-hmm.
the stud.
Mm-hmm.
You make the stud no longer dependable.
Mm-hmm.
So where the female don't depend on the male, she depends on you as mm-hmm. slave, as the female,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You also focus on the baby when they have babies. The only reason the male and the female get together is to mate.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, you focus your attention on the female and the baby. Female because they'll stand out front. They'll lead.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always trust you. You break the mentality of the male to where he's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The female would then train the baby to be like her.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, once you continue this cycle, you totally break down
the stud.
You totally break him down, and you break down the female is already broken
the whole
down,
structure.
And we're going to raise the baby up to where you ain't got to break them down. So now I never have a problem.
Right. It's already there.
Went into detail, went into more like, right now your slaves are rebellious. Your slaves run. Your slaves want to fight. You have to hang on. You this, that, and the third. Your slaves sleep while you awake. But they're awake while you sleep.
Mm.
So as long as you have that going on, you can never get any rest because you don't know what they're going to do. That's why we're going to break them down. We're going to systematically change the way you've been doing things to where we get in the mind, we control their mind and make them believe that we are good. When he went to the human, he said, what you do is you take the biggest and baddest slave you got, the one that might cause you the most problems. You tie one of his legs to one horse, tie another leg to another horse. Strip him naked in front of everybody. But this is the male.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're demeaning him. You're
mm-hmm.
totally embarrassing him. You're taking away air. Now he's standing there. You whip him in front of all the slaves. After you're done doing that, you pat one horse, pat the other horse, let them run in opposite directions and whip him up off in front of everybody. What does that do to the mind of everybody who sat there and watched
mm-hmm.
him? I don't ever want to go up against him. You seen what he did to so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
You demasculate the man. You make the woman dependent upon you. Take her dependent from the man because he's nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't no bigger, no stronger, no powerful than. Fast forward through all that because I can stay on that forever. Fast forward through all that. This process, now, there have been reports that this was fake and all this and all that, but at the end of the day, you can understand how, in theory, it would work. This was 1712. You do this now, you'll have them under your control for 300 years or even more.
Can you say the author's name? Just so
this is the Lynch letter. That's the Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch letter. Again, now I left some of the stuff out because it was too long, and I didn't even want to go that route just on this because of this show, but I felt like it was relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether Willie Lynch ever walked this earth or not, the fact that somebody wrote this, and you can make the sense out of it, why wouldn't I try? What do I got to lose? What we've become is a nation of people who are no longer dependent upon ourselves. We are totally dependent upon master still.
Master.
We still dependent on master. Master, however you call him.
And this conversation we were having with Nikita, old girl.
Yeah.
And she was saying, you know, we became westernized because it's almost like we took up all the traditional stance of the master,
mm-hmm.
even to down to religion.
Mm-hmm. The Sunday thing and all that is going to church on Sunday, and the way he talked about it to the slaves is the way it was embedded years later, the discipline, all that. But to the point I'm trying to make to what you were saying, it's so much so true, that theory. Because if you look at the makeup now, it's still the same foundation. Mm-hmm. We're being set out to be irrelevant. The black male, either we on the corner, or either we are fighting each other. Either way, we inside our own self, we're killing each other off.
Yeah.
Now the female is left alone to be dependent upon the state. Mm. Now the state can say, okay, I supply for you, so you welfare. Here we go. You're in this trap over here. I put you in this category over here. So now I can contain you. As long as I got this amount of you, this portion of the black culture and welfare, I got you contained. You where I want you to be, and I can control what I control.
Let me go a step further, because, you know, this is my topic.
Yeah.
You have different types of black males.
Right.
You have those that will buy into anything. You have those that will stand for nothing. Then you have the strong ones. You have the ones who see through. Oh, but I got a plan for you too. You know, because I have to consider all of you. If this be true, and if in theory, if this was, and I'm going this route because as black people, we have to realize in this country, our history started here with slavery.
Mm-hmm.
That is your history in America. That is what you have always been seen as. It was probably what you will always be seen as, because that is how you were introduced to this land.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't keep that in the forefront of your mind, then you will always be tricked. Always remember, your beginning here was slave. And to some people, it's been passed on down the line, and those people, they were masters then, they are masters now. They are still who they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, look, you say you were talking about the ones who on the corners and the ones who, you know, we get caught up in the dream of once you put me in a situation where there seems like there's no escape and I find a crack, pun intended.
Yeah.
I find a crack in the road to where I may be able to get out of this situation, and it comes down to me or you. Please believe it ain't gonna be me. Okay, so we got that dynamic. We put them in a box. They good. So they either gonna end up dead or in prison. We got them.
Mm-hmm.
What about the ones who have families and go and do things the right way? Like you say, it's been so long to where we made you so irrelevant to where there's so much backbiting in your house that you and her are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
She no longer depends on you. She depends on the state.
Mm-hmm.
By her depending on the state, we come after you. So now we got you in a place to where you can't do nothing. We still got our hands on you. We still got our hands around your neck. You. We got you too.
Mm-hmm.
Once you demasculate, I think that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
You take away a man's, and I'm going to say a black man's, position in his house. What's left?
Yeah, the foundation, the whole structure, the culture of us is gone, because now that blueprint we have that's laid out before us from the Bible that says the man is to lead, it's torn apart.
Yeah.
It's totally torn apart.
For the ones of you that don't have a family, and you may wonder why you don't have a family, let me introduce something else to you. Maybe it's just that you're not interested in women. Maybe the whole time you just like men. See, I don't believe, and I'm sorry, call me ignorant. I don't believe this gay stuff comes from God. I don't believe it. It's another vice. Okay, so I put that on you too. So now for those that don't have families, I just make you gay. And if you already demasculinated, I guess is the right word, if you go that route. So if we take all the men out of the picture, now we just make the women our whores.
Yeah.
But we don't make them look like we want them to look. We're going to do what we want to do with y'all to keep y'all under control. Period. You are always dependent upon me. You, no matter what, no matter how you look at it, I'm always going to be on top. You always going to be on the bottom. Until black people get in their mind that I don't have to depend on you. I don't have to depend on you for your job. I don't have to depend on you for nothing. I don't have to because I can find a way. One thing about black people, we used to being broke.
Yeah.
You will find a way to get done what you want to get done. And I know the topic of the show is supposed to be on television and all that, but this is just where it sent me. So I'm gone. Whatever. Once we change our mindset and stop thinking that the stuff that's not put right in front of you is too extreme, like nobody's going to put the truth on your table for you to eat. You got to search for that. What's going to be put in front of you is all that stuff that's been that's had us in the position that we've been in for so many years. That's what they're going to keep feeding. And if you're looking for easy and if you ain't going to do your research or you ain't going to believe, then they win it. And they always going to win it. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Because it's a relevant point. Because it's for us to understand how we get here and to say the reality TV, how they become so instrumental in our makeup and our vision for what we think we are, is that you have to understand the Willard Lynch level. If the theory is in reality real, it plays a big part into the reality TV. Because we made the point that there ain't nobody black that we know on a production company. CBS, NBC, Fox, Universal, Viacom, ain't nobody black on them. We do have some black owners of TV channels or shows. I mean, you know, channels. That's what I should say, channels. Because you got Open Network, you got Diddy Got Revolt and all that, but it still got to go through another chain. Yeah. That's even with music.
I was just about to go that route.
That's even with music. It's not, it's no more independent music.
No. Now, how are you going to tell me as an artist, I wrote this song, I produced this song, I put music to this song, I did all of this, and I come to you just to help me distribute my music. And for every record I sell, I might get a dollar.
Yeah, you get all the money. You get all the money. So much so to a lot of these artists leave these companies don't even have the right to their own music.
No, because you sold it. You sold when you signed the contract, you said, I will produce, I will give you music for X amount of years.
Yeah.
X amount of albums I owe you.
And we've always said, music lives forever. Mm. So it's always going to make money. It's always going to be making money. You just ain't going to get that.
So when do we smarten up? And when do we stop looking for the easy road? Yeah, you go to them and you're going to get a chunk right off the bat. Yeah, but you lose in the long run.
But that's where we become as a culture, is that quick fix.
Yeah.
You know, that instant gratification. But we got to get rid of that. I understand what you're saying.
And that's true, too, because that's more even now. It started probably when we were growing up, because we got a little fast with when we were going by things. Before that, everybody just, it was about hard work. What you wanted, you went and done it for. You know what I'm saying? We still got that, because we never, one thing about us, we kept a job all the way, the whole time, once we was old enough to get a job. I'll never forget this. My 16th birthday, my mama gave me a card with application to cash and carry. It was my first job, real job, you know what I'm saying? Because I worked at Houston, but that was my real first job. But it was always embedded in us. But after that, like, the cat that was 3-4 years under, 4-5 years under us, the cats ain't going to work. They didn't even go to school.
I'm gonna tell you what I heard a minister say a couple years back. And he was like, we have become so dependent upon the government, the state, the other people, that we don't even attempt to go out and make our own money though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what we need to realize is that the economy is going the way it's going because of us. He said it like this. He said, I believe that God is telling us, if you won't use the sense that I gave you to go out and provide for yourself, be self-sufficient, with all the gifts and all the everything that I gave you, if you want to continue to depend on this system, what I will do is I will break the system so that they don't have it to give you. They don't have the job for you to run and apply to them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you not create jobs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's almost, if I'm catching on to what you're saying, it's almost as if I'm going to make it so you have to become self-sufficient.
I don't want you to depend. I want you up out of what you have bought into for so many years.
Yeah.
I've been trying to tell you for so many years, this is not yours. This is not the life I have for you. You will break your neck. You will stand in line for hours to get something that ain't yours. It's a whole nother life out there. And I know I'm talking on a big scale right now, and I'm way out there, but it's real. And it's as real as you will allow it to be in your mind.
Do you think, like, it's so real to the fact that the internet, let's say, because we have media outlets, and one of the biggest media outlets right now is social media.
Right.
Do you think it's to the point, because, you know, there was no internet even before about 2000 either. All the reality, internet, all that all came in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think internet, for instance, maybe it started out, we don't know, as more of a system to help the business side. I think that's where it's portrayed to be, has been put in place for. But now we know for a fact it's become everyday mainstream people's lives.
Right.
I mean, the average person, even kids, don't go a day without getting on the internet to do something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a part of your life now. Is it the phone? All that is irrelevant. It's the internet. Even your phone, you use the internet on it. You know what I'm saying? So do you think that was also implemented a way of, we're going to tie it into the Willie Lynch thing?
Yeah, I do. I believe, okay, if I tell you, hey, you don't got to send mail through the mail carrier no more. Just get on the computer, type what you want to type, hit send. It goes where you want it to go,
mm-hmm.
making your life simple. Hey, you don't have to put a check in the mail no more. Get online, log in, put in your bank account information, say how much you want to pay, hit send. Your bill is paid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you don't have to use checks no more. I'll give you this card. We're going to electronically transfer your money to this card. You swipe it wherever you go. You don't got to worry about losing your money no more. You don't have to worry about carrying cash no more. You don't have to worry about writing a check no more. I'm going to make it a convenience to you. We buy in. On the flip side, that checking account, that debit card is tied to you. That email is tied to you. Everything you do online is tied to you. You can't see it. You don't think about it. But I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I know every move you make now. Okay, for those that don't want to do this, hey, did you know you can link up with friends that you ain't seen in 30 years? Go on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Go on whatever, chat room, go here, go do this. Put up your pictures, chat, communicate, whatever. The world is now linked.
Right.
The entire world is linked.
And you know what's the crazy thing about that? With that social media thing is, for 10 years, I had been out of high school, and it was people I hadn't seen and wouldn't see. Didn't know what their lives was like, didn't know what they was doing, and I was okay with that. You get Facebook. Now you become a part of their everyday life more so than you was when you was in high school and you seen them every day.
Right.
You get more information. I know more about people I went to school with and was classmates to this day from Facebook than I knew in 12 years of being in school.
And that's the sad reality of where we are. Now, we look at it as a benefit. But why? I've been good without you all these years.
Yeah.
Not saying that it is anything wrong with keeping in contact with people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have to look at it from all angles.
I bought into it.
What benefit is it for the people who provide this service. You're not just doing this to make my life easier. You don't care about my life. That's not your goal. You may tell me that, but that's not what it is. The good thing about the internet is you can't really control it. All you can do now is shut it down, but you can't control what a person put up.
Yeah.
Once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
You can try to delete it. You can try to take it down. You can try to block access to it and all this and all that, but you never know who's seen it by the time you see it. So in saying that, we can always find the truth in that.
Yeah.
Because there's so much information out there that if you want truth, you can find it now. You don't have to depend on the story of somebody else. You don't have to depend on the media, news media, the reporters. You know, half of that stuff they're reporting ain't true, or it ain't the whole story.
Yeah.
But we just take what we hear as true because they made us lazy. Back to your point, BJ, microwave. Once we introduce microwave, we dumb them down a little bit. Okay, now we see that this works. Now we can go with step two.
And look at the confusion. Like, for instance, look at all the conflict and uproar you see on these social media sites. And when you do see positive, because it is positive vibes, I'm pointing that out. But when you do see it, even a positive person, as I take myself to be at most times, I try to be. I pass over the positive to see the negative. Myself, I buy into it.
You can't afford it.
It's almost as if when you go into these social sites, you ain't going in to see nothing good. You're going to see what's going on. And most of the time, it's just like the news. And we say all the time, I don't watch the news because news don't ever show nothing good. Well, you need to get your ass off the internet, then.
I'm willing to bet if the world, and I know this will never happen, but if the world would just make a pledge to not post nothing negative for a month,
yeah.
Facebook would die.
I think so. I truly believe that. Somebody's going to say something. It's so hard to kill negativity because if it goes straight positive, somebody's going to say, well, where all these holy rollers come from?
Yeah.
Something's going to be said.
You can't get rid of
it. You just can't. But imagine to live like that, to have that kind of establishment, but you don't. And like I said earlier, yeah, I can watch reality TV and I don't buy into it. Everybody can't get on the internet and don't buy into what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. And the internet is way more bigger than TV ever was. For us, TV was the biggest outlet growing up. The internet now reaches way bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's way bigger than that. And it's to the point where kids at the age where we were outside shooting basketball, playing, throwing up, busting up, are now on the internet all day doing where we would be outside from 4 to 7:30. From 4 to 9:30 for them to go to bed, they're on the computer. That's 5 hours. And who knows how long they're on in this school.
I want to throw another disclaimer out there. I'm taking one out of your page. Because I'm sitting back thinking about stuff that I said. And I say it often. I don't want it to come across as though I'm a racist. As though, you know what I mean? I don't like a particular race of people. And I guess that would equate to racism. That's not what it is. I have white friends. I have Hispanic friends. I have all nationalities of people. I like people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't discriminate against people. What I do tend to dwell on is the fact that black people in this country, again, since your arrival here, you have been targeted. You have been set aside. You have been put beneath humanity, to say it. Mexican people get oppressed. And I think I might have said this on another show or maybe just in conversation, but most of the time it's by other Mexican people.
Mm-hmm.
Africans, they get oppressed, but they get oppressed in Africa by Africans. Chinese, they get oppressed in China by Chinese. Black people get oppressed here in America. So there has to be some significance to your race in this country. And I just started asking myself what that is. How is it that another person can come from another country over here and get more than I can get? And I've been here. I was born here.
Mm-hmm.
I work here. Pay taxes here. Taxes here. But you can come here and go get a loan and start a business and then have our women go spend their money in your store to buy the hair you ship in here.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Something wrong with that.
No, it's a great point. And I want to point this out, too, because I was seeing a conversation a while back on social media, and the point was being made of slavery. And somebody pointed out, which they was being devil's advocate or just being in contrast to the conversation. They was like, well, you know, black people weren't the only slaves. It's other cultures that have been slaves. Hey, listen, I understand that. I'm good with that, but I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, what you're talking about makes a lot of sense. But if you're from a culture where you wasn't no slave, or your ancestors weren't no slave that you know of, and it doesn't affect you today, then you can say that. I understand. I understand your point. I agree with it. And it's a valid point because it's legitimate. But the end of the day is I'm black, and I still catch the back end of the fact of what my ancestors went through. If I can walk in the building because I got a beard on my face and you clutch your purse, that's because of something before my time.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with me. You don't know nothing about me. I can have 4 or 5 degrees, but in your mind what you see, because I'm black. So don't tell me about, you know what I mean, everybody being slaves. Because you can walk in a building and maybe, and I could be wrong, you may walk in the building and this happened to you too. So then if that's the case, then instead of coming to me saying black people want to own the slaves, come to me and say, I go through the same thing.
Exactly. I understand.
Yes. Don't come in contrast to what I'm saying. And I throw that out there because to what your point was, like you were saying, like we're not bashing.
No.
We just talking from a point where the things we still have to deal with. The whole point of the show is like, is television our vision? It's our reality that the vision that's on TV is being played out, and that's not where we come from.
No. And it ain't even to, it's not to enrich you.
Right.
It's not to enlighten you. It's not to make it, it's not to give you positivity. It's not for any of that. Even if the forefront looks that way, please believe the people that are controlled, some of them, still have the same attitudes that people had 300 and 400 years ago. It's been passed down.
Yeah, just like we feel the way we do towards certain things, it was passed down to us. Our parents had to struggle through it, or we seen our grandma struggle through it, or we heard of the stories of what she went through.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if you listen to your grandfather, if I'm a white young boy growing up in a southern town, and my grandfather telling me how the slaves did this and how I used to have to whoop them, yeah, you're going to grow up and think that all black people are in a certain demographic.
Yeah.
So if I grow up understanding, my grandma, it was a time I couldn't drink out of water fountain and I couldn't go uptown Palmetto. I had to go around this way. Then, yeah, I'm going to go to Palmetto with the understanding that it was a time I couldn't come in Palmetto. So don't discredit what I'm saying because you saying you didn't do it. I understand that. I'm not blaming you. But you cannot tell me I don't have an issue with what happened.
So I want to form this question to y'all boys, you know, seeing that we're all fathers here. All right. Sat here for a long time real quiet.
Yeah, like you always do.
Like I always do. You know, soaking it in and processing everything y'all boys been saying. The way my mind works, the way my mind set up. Okay, I hear the problem. I hear what's wrong. I know what's wrong. Okay. How do I, as a father, go about trying to change that for my children? Okay. How do I go about reasonably, that came out a little messed up, but reasonably, basically what I'm trying to say is I can't just take the internet away from my
mm-hmm,
children.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna just take the internet away. It's too valuable of an instrument. No.
It's just like life. You can't take it from them.
You know,
they gotta go to it. Yeah.
They gotta. You know, it's a reality that it's a part of us. So how can I control their intake? How can I
stay involved as far as the information that's coming into them, especially, you know, the younger ones. As a black man, how can I, at the same time, while they're getting all this stuff, you know, I'm not going to be with them 24-7. I don't know what they're looking at while they're at school, you know, but as a black man, how can I make them understand that we are looked at differently, but at the same time, explain it to them that that don't have to be true. You don't have to let that form who you become, but just know that it's reality.
My opinion, you find out where you come from, so then you can explain to them where they come from. So now they're able to decipher what's true and what's not from what you're presenting. Well, I'm going to say it this way, and I don't want to say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this. We've been taught that, or we always hear that the love of money is evil. The root of all evil is money and all this other.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean that. And we know that you need money to live. It's impossible to live in this world without it. It's just that I shouldn't fall in love with it. Internet, you need. In this day and age, you need that. It's impossible. If you're under a certain age, and I would say that age is probably 50 right now, at some point or another, you don't have to interact with the internet.
Yeah, I agree.
So now, just be mindful that there are traps. Everything on the internet ain't true. Everything on the internet ain't good. Just like everything on TV ain't good. Everything that comes off the radio ain't good. Every person you meet is not good. Just like you teach them those lessons, teach them that lesson. And then let them decipher what's true and what's not. You can't. That's the only way at this point, because it's full blown. There's no way to stop it. Even in just playing a video game.
Right.
It's embedded.
Right.
And I agree, because I would say this, and the great William Baldwin said it best. He said, children oftentimes find it hard to listen to adults, but easy to emulate. So I believe really the most important thing for us to do as parents, especially as black males, as fathers of families, or you don't even have to have the family structure to be with the woman, but just as the father of a child, I really believe you have to exemplify what you want them to do. You know what I'm saying? And if the world is the world, we know that for ourselves. We went out in it, we did what we wanted to do, and our parents were the greatest exemplification of what we should have been, but we chose to go the other way at times. But because they exemplified what we needed, that was our grounding.
Yeah.
When it was time to come back to what we needed to do and how we needed to do it, we felt it come back to the foundation. And whatever you build in your home, the internet, but it can't penetrate what God got set up. And if you're running by that platform, you the head, and you're running through your spirituality through God, he can't penetrate it. He healed. We know that. That's why the internet has been planted into the whole cycle of life. Before, it might have been the beeper. You know what I'm saying? It was some kind of technology. They always been trying to put something in there. But you always had that structure. If you keep that structure, and if it's there, at the end of the day, even if your child strays, because the world is big, and everybody's not built the same. And we're going to do the best we can. But that doesn't guarantee that every child is not going to fall somewhere. Because I failed. You know what I'm saying? I think my mom was the best. But I failed. You know what I'm saying? But when I stood up, she was there. And the most important part of it is the reason I was able to stand up is because she was always there. And I think that's what we have to give our kids now. And it's harder. It's harder for us than it was for mom.
Right, absolutely.
And that's the truth. And that brings about the struggle, and that's the relevancy of your question, Bone, because with the internet and the easy access, and we didn't have that, you had to get on the phone. And you couldn't pick up a phone in a house back when we was growing up and nobody knew you was on there anyway. Because eventually they were going to say, why my phone ain't ringing or what you doing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You couldn't just go nowhere and shut off and hold up no phone, and you couldn't talk on the phone for 15 minutes. What you doing? Somebody might call. Ain't nobody calling. Ain't nobody calling every night.
You need
to get on my phone. Somebody might need to call me. And see, that's the same thing. Even with the internet. I mean, the kids been doing the internet, and you don't know what they're doing when they're on it.
But you just got to trust that you done told them the right way to go.
That's
what anything. Yeah,
right.
That's even letting them go out in the world. You just got to trust that at the end of the day, they figure it out for themselves.
And I want to come back to, I know the topics were media outlets and reaction to Real Housewives and all that. And, you know, somebody might be listening and saying, well, what y'all talking about ain't got nothing to do with that. It does. It's just not, we're not talking about, I'm going to speak for myself, but I think I can speak for everybody. It's not so much the specific. We have to get out of the specific.
Mm-hmm. To understand why we're in it.
A fruit comes from a tree. And as long as the root is in planted, or the root is in the ground, that tree is always going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
The root of the problem is not housewives.
No.
The root of the problem is not the internet. The root of the problem is not anything other than our acceptance or lack of acceptance of the truth.
Yeah.
That's the root of the problem. You can't know the truth if you don't search for it. Once you search, you have to be willing to accept. Once you do that, it don't matter what nobody else do. You can watch whatever you want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now I'm watching and I'm able to decipher, this is stupid.
Yeah.
This is dumb. This ain't got nothing to do with what's worth.
Yeah.
Even if I laugh at it. Whatever. I can go on the internet and read an article that somebody put out there that want me to believe that's the truth and see through it. The truth.
Yeah, and Bobo can go on the internet and watch the fight. And then
man.
Mm-hmm. He's not going out telling his kids to go videotape and put themselves on YouTube.
No, man. I'm trying to figure out, you know, where the parents at.
What brought this about?
Why would
you do something like
that? Right.
Yeah.
You know, why is that your first reaction? I don't know.
I don't so much, and this is like, condoning something is, it's a fine line. Because I'm trying to find a way to say, if I watch Housewives, am I condoning the show? And I'm not sure if I can say I'm not. And that's why I'm trying to find that fine line. And it may not be one.
It may not be.
Besides the fact that in my mind, I know I can watch it and it doesn't affect me as far as my outlook on my reality. But that doesn't mean it's right to watch it if I don't agree with the reality it is presented.
In watching it, and I hate this because it sounds like we bashing the housewives. It's not the housewives.
It's just not that show. It's the whole reality concept.
In watching something on TV or on the internet or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with what I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that I accept what I'm watching. Two different words, but both impactful.
You know what? And you know what? I'm going to point out something. And I'm going to point out a flaw for myself. We was listening to a dude one time, and he was bashing Diddy and Nelly, and I got mad.
Yeah.
I got mad because I didn't agree with it. And if I got to that I'm pointing out, because if I got to that extreme on that, and I disagree with it, I should feel the same way about anything else that's in the same manner. So, yeah, I understand that. I totally understand that.
I hear y'all boys. But I love me some Atlanta Housewives. I'm going to watch me some Atlanta Housewives. I'm going to watch NeNe, you know, show out. I'm going to watch Phaedra, you know, be her sedated self, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I interrupted, but let me ask you a question. Why are you watching? Now, I'm not trying to change the fact that you're watching. I just want to know from my own personal, why are you watching? What draws you to it?
It's entertaining. The same reason why I listen to 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne. I don't feel like a lot of what they're saying is positive.
It doesn't change
that. But I listen to it. It's entertainment. I don't.
So
I guess because I've accepted the fact that it's not reality, I've accepted that. You know, in my mind, I know that this is nonsense, so I can separate it. I can separate the two. I'm not going to buy into it, but I'm going to look at it and I'm going to laugh. Because you need laughter, man. You can't be uptight and mad and all that about everything. My approach on life is just stay calm. Stay calm. Stay calm. Chill out. You know what I'm saying?
He meant that.
You know what I'm saying? God ain't put us here for all that. I mean, he put us here to make a change. Yeah. And I pick my battles. I get worked up about certain things. But TV is TV. It's TV. That's why they created it.
And see, that same
entertain
thing.
Us.
Because it ain't that serious.
Yo, I feel what you're saying. I feel what you're saying. And as black people, yeah, we gotta want better. But, you know, they ain't the only ones making a fool of their damn self on TV. It's, look at, I know you don't look at TV.
New York.
But the New York Housewives of Orange County, they are white. And they doing the same thing.
Yeah, one of those.
So they're making it okay for us.
I ain't saying to make it. No.
He said it just ain't on just us.
What I'm saying, I feel you. I'm black. I ain't concerned about it either. But the networks I work with, they're making a fool not out of just us. They're making a fool out of everybody.
Yeah. Good point.
They're making a fool out of
everybody.
The whole
reality concept is just...
And I'm going to tell you where this reality TV started. I'll tell you exactly where it started. America's Funny Home Video.
Yeah.
There was a point where America's Funny Home Video was
the number one show,
the most popular show on TV. And what is that?
Yeah.
Is that not reality?
And that's real reality. That was the real. They took it from their faces.
People falling, people tripping and hurting themselves, crashing cars and surviving and doing all this. That's the original reality TV. We made that popular. So hell. Well, all I got to do is get a camera and just show you whatever, shaky and all. Hell, I can do that and save myself some money. It's the network. They banking off of all of us. We as black people, I hope we open our eyes and be aware of that, yeah. But the system's a beast.
It is.
It is. And I understand Bone Point, and I understand you on 2T, because I'm kind of caught in the middle, and I'm sitting here trying to rationalize inside myself. Am I really right, or am I really wrong for watching it? But because I get to understand that it doesn't affect me, but am I still condoning? And that brings a problem to me. You know what I'm saying?
Now, what I have to be careful of, being someone that enjoys watching it,
your kids,
I have to be aware of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things I'm going to watch in front of my kids, certain things I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
And that's cool, though, because you can handle it, and you're grown.
I got to make sure
that's
I keep
like,
that control.
Yeah.
It goes back to being the head of the household and having that control. I'm not going to let you watch South Park. I'm not going to let you watch. To be honest with you, I don't want you watching 106 and Park, to be honest.
I don't think. At this point, and I know we only got 5 minutes left, I don't think at this point this is a conversation we can just leave like this. We might have to revisit this one. And we might have to go into not so much specifics of any show, but
I
why.
I want to talk specifics about show.
Then that's what you do.
That's what I want to do.
That's what you do. But at the end of the day, we got to close this one out. I enjoyed it, like always. And I'll be back on Friday.
Hey, I gotta catch this point in here. Bro, you said you want to talk specifically on shows?
Yeah.
So you want to do a show catered to one of these reality shows?
I'm down with that.
And we just talk on...
You want to research up?
Pick one. I don't care. Pick the show.
That's how I have great... Hey, I had to point out that because I thought it was a good approach. So that's why I throw it out there. All right. So we're going to revisit that. Yeah. We're going to revisit that. So be looking out for that. We're going to go ahead and close this thing up. Y'all boys got anything for
them? I'm up, man. I'll check you on Friday.
The draft coming up.
Draft Thursday.
Get to tomorrow?
Yeah.
Draft tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. It's 7 or 8. Yeah. We just thought about it. Thursday.
March. I love this time of year, real quick. I love this time of year. The draft, the NBA finals, all that good stuff right now. So I'm looking forward for us talking on that. One time, your boy Bone. I'm out.
You too, T? All right, then, with that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. T-O-A-B.
Yeah.